All right, we are going to be in Mark chapter 12 this morning. Mark chapter 12, it's on page 867 there in the Bibles in front of you. Can everybody see their Bibles out there? Do we need to turn up the lights anymore? This means yes, this means no. I'm assuming since I can see your faces that you all are good to go, all right? Mark chapter 12, we'll be there in just a minute. We're talking this morning about realigning the vision. It's absolutely critical within an organization, company, it doesn't matter what it is, volunteer or paid, that you bring back up the vision on occasion. And so once a year, I like to at least do a message about the vision, and then throughout the year, bring up certain points and say, you remember, this fits within this part of the vision. If you've been around Gateway for even 2 weeks, you surely have seen the part where we say our vision is to love God, live in community, serve the city. We've made it very short, very succinct, very memorable, so that someone can walk away from here on a Sunday and say, I pretty much get what they're doing. Now, I don't know all of how they get it done, but I pretty much know what they're about. Okay, so we tried to encapsulate that. All of our programs, all of our ministries, everything we try to do, we try to fit underneath one of those pieces of the vision. If it doesn't fit that, then we say no to it. The biggest problem within organizations, especially volunteer organizations, is they don't understand how to use the word no. Because if you say yes to everything, you just water yourself down. You have to be focused. You have to be directed. You have to get to the point that you say, this is who we are. It doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else. It just means that this is what we're called to do. Others may be called to other areas, and that's wonderful, and we'll cheer them on. But if we're going to be effective, if we're going to take care of some things, we've got to be focused. Now, then, that vision's pretty large. You know, love God, live in community, serve the city. That's pretty good boundaries. But it does establish some boundaries to say, this is where it's going to be. Now, that's a pretty big field. Okay, that's pretty wide. It leaves room for a lot of different ministries and a lot of different things to go on, but it allows us to pull it in and say, this is who we are, okay, as an organization, as a group of people, as a church. And so as we walk through this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to love God. We're going to spend a few more minutes on what it means to live in community, and then just a few minutes on serve the city. So as we talk about loving God this morning, what I wanted to do was, this last year we kind of started off with some things, tinkering with it, where we had kind of a reading plan, devotional thing that you could find either through my Twitter feed or on Facebook or website and that sort of thing. And then just about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got sent a link to this one site that was like, hey, this is pretty sharp. This is much better than what we were looking at doing and allows for a variety of uses for it. So I'm going to show you that this morning up here on the screen. This is called YouVersion, like YouTube, okay, like if you spelled out YouTube. You just go to YouVersion.com, okay? Very, very simple. You can find it. And I'm going to show you a little bit of how this works, but I'm going to leave it to you guys to tinker with it on your own to figure out what works for you, okay? You guys are sharp. It took me maybe 10 minutes on the website to figure out which reading plan that I kind of wanted to do. So I'm going to show you mine so that you can see the page. Now, I know over the weekend, because a lot of people are now going to this site, okay, and I mean a ton of them, it went down over the weekend, okay? So we're not going to go through different pages because we tried that this morning and we started getting the error and all that other stuff. So this is the one of the pages that you'll see once you set up your own site. They've got a video tutorial on there and all this other stuff. But what you're seeing right here is actually the reading plan I'm going through. There's 31 different reading plans that you can choose from, and you can change the length of time to do that. So like the one that I'm doing is Old Testament in 1 year. If you want to do the whole Bible in a year, you can find that on here. If you say, man, I can't read the whole Bible in 1 year, you can change the date and say, I'm going to do it in a year and a half. All right, or with the Old Testament or with the New Testament, you could change it where the New Testament goes a year and a half. You have it set aside for what you can do. There's some plans that give you the weekend off. Okay, in other words, you know that, man, come Saturday and Sunday, it just gets really difficult. So then you get discouraged because you forgot that sort of thing. You can set it up so that it skips weekends, okay? So you make it your own. It will send you, you can sign up for a feeder to remind you, or you can sign up for email. What it will do is it will hit your email box every morning or whatever time you tell it to. You can click on that. It will take you to your version of it. It's also capable of being looked at through iPhone and all the other things. So like I do mine on my iPhone. Okay, most of the time. I'm usually not around my computer, but I can pull mine up on my iPhone right now, sign in, and boom, there it is. And it tells me exactly where I've read to. At the end of the day or at the end of your reading, there's little check boxes that you can click on and say I've read, like for instance, mine today is Genesis chapter 6, Psalm 6, Joshua 6. Can you pull that down just a little bit? Yeah, right there. You can see that my three for today are Genesis 6, Psalm 6, Joshua 6. Tomorrow will be Genesis 7, Psalm 7, Joshua 7. And it just keeps me moving through there. Okay? Now then, the translation you can pick up there on that left-hand side. See underneath where it says Genesis 7, 1? You can pick from about, I think it's 15 to 20 different translations. Because the one assigned to this is American Standard Version. And there's a lot of these and thous and ithis and and I'm like going, what in the world was that? So I put it in the translation of my choice, New Living Translation. That's what we read out of here. And in that way, I can read it in the one that I'm used to seeing. Okay? Or if you have a translation that isn't in here and you just like this reminder tool, then just get out the one of your choice and read through it. Okay, so when we talk about loving God, what we're talking about is this. Everyone in a personal relationship with God, using their private study of Scripture, okay, as well as being involved corporately, okay? It's the two ways that we can definitely point to the Scripture to say this is a great way to learn how to love God. Okay, now then, are there other ways? Absolutely. But the non-negotiables, okay, are studying of personal Scripture alone and studying of Scripture together, okay? Now, are there other ways that you can learn how to love God? Absolutely, but you can't ever get away from Scripture, all right? So if you want that, you can take part of that. The other thing that you can do, the other thing that you can do, you don't have to put that up there anymore. The other thing that you do, growth groups. You can sign up for your group on there, and you can talk about some of the verses or some of the passages, okay? You can have your own little group feed on there. So if your growth group decides, hey, let's read through, you know, the Old Testament together, or let's read through the book of Joshua together, whatever it is that you want to do, you can have an area there where you all can converse and remind one another to read the Scripture and hold each other accountable, okay? There are tons more things on the website that I haven't even touched on, but I would encourage you, if you don't have a plan, get a plan, okay? One of the things that happens with New Year's resolutions, the reason why you don't complete it is you don't write it down, and it's not specific, okay? You've heard this 1,000 times, but it's absolutely true. Don't say, I'm going to lose weight this year. You write down a number, and you say, by when? And don't say 15 pounds by next week, all right? That's dumb. You will not pull that off unless you're starving yourself and being silly. But if you said 15 pounds by 3 months, okay, that's a measurable goal. It's, you know, it's something that's written down that you can do. If you're going to fall more in love with God this year, it's not just a matter of, I'm going to fall in more love with God this year. That's not enough. It won't happen, okay? Because you'll get distracted. You'll get other things pulling you away. But if you know you've got a reading plan that's reminding you, you're in a growth group or with some other people that are saying, hey, did you read? Did you do your thing? Here's what I found out with my Old Testament reading. It takes me, on most occasions, okay, some scriptures longer than other, but pretty well between Genesis, Joshua, and Psalms, okay, reading three chapters, it literally takes me 2.5 to 3 minutes, and that's reading it slow. See, I like to read like really, really fast sometimes, and I realize, man, I'm just skimming it, so I have to slow myself down. It literally takes me 3 minutes, okay? So, yes, you're going to get to some scriptures that you go, what in the world was that? Okay, you get into some of the begats, all right, like I was in Genesis 5, I think it was, and all of a sudden, you know, here it was, and Shem begat, you know, and so on, so had something, and I'm like, eh. But there's some pretty cool stuff in there if you just slow down, okay, and work your way through it. And I think that that'll help you, all right? So that's one of the ways that we want to just kind of help you with. Growth group leaders, that may be something that you're interested in going on there and creating a growth group accountability page and that sort of thing. All right, we want to talk about live in community. Now, why are we going back to the vision? A lot of people around here kind of know, love God, live in community, serve the city. Yeah, we're supposed to be involved with a growth group. Yeah, we're supposed to read. Yeah. Here's the deal. If you don't remind, okay, if you're ever owner of a company or you're running something or you're involved, if you don't consistently remind people of the vision, you get in misalignment. You ever driven a car that was in bad alignment? Now then, it's annoying to you as the driver. It's annoying to the passengers. You ever been behind that car that you're like, dude, it looks like they're going down the highway sideways, all right? They got a broken tie rod or something back there. They were in a wreck. And you're like, wow, that's really weird to see going down through there. It's moving. It's doing what it's supposed to do. But here's what we all know. That is going to produce incredible amounts of wear and tear. And it is going to break down badly. It's not going to just have a flat tire. We're talking broken tie rods and broken stuff. I mean, big time stuff. What happens within an organization, a church, business, if you don't remind one another what the vision is, you get out of alignment. Wear and tear begins to happen. Relationships get fragmented. People feel like, man, I was hired on to do my job description and it has radically changed and this is infuriating to me and no one has explained to me why. You ever been in that job before that you started out with a job description, you look back a year later and you go, dude, I'm not doing any of that. And that's what I really wanted to do. That's what I hired to do. That's what I agreed to do. And suddenly I'm doing all this other stuff. What happens? You become irritated. Because you feel like no one has communicated with you. No one has helped you along. No one's helped you to understand why. That maybe if someone sat down and said why. But if you go, you know, this was the original vision. We've moved off of it. You're going to get very frustrated. You're not going to be happy where you are. So what we're trying to do is make sure everybody as we start the year again is in alignment as best as we can be to say this is who we are. This is what we do. We talked a little bit about with Ambrose living in community. One of the things that we're really working on this year, and I've talked to our leadership team as well as others, that we need to be doing more and more mentoring, okay? And what I mean by mentoring is this isn't just sitting down one-on-one with a Bible study. That's good. But it means mentoring every other thing that goes on within the church. You ever been in those churches before that you walk in and you kind of want to serve, and every single time they're like, oh, no, someone's got that covered. No, someone else does that. No, someone else does that. Nah, you know, and you're like, man, there's nothing here I want to do. Well, you know what the problem is? They're closed. You ever been around those churches that the same person has done the same thing for 30 years, and they've produced no other leaders? Now then, we're grateful that they served in the position for 30 years, if they did a good job. But if you want to do an effective job of being a leader, you bring other people along. The measure of leaders is how many other leaders they're bringing with them, okay? Now, then that takes time. That's not going to happen overnight. But every single one of you within the church, every single one of you that says, you know, I want to be a part, you ought to be able to find a place. And believe me, we've got a ton of different places to serve. Everything from setup crew, if you're like, oh, I'm not a person that really does well in welcoming people and greeting people, but man, I can set up the boxes and the envelopes and pass out all that stuff and put the signs out. I can do all that. There's a place for you. If you want to help us with what we do up here on screen with PowerPoint and media and that sort of thing, there's a place for you. I mean, there are a ton of different ways that people can serve. We even have people who bake our very own communion bread. Okay, we don't get the store-bought stuff anymore. We used to buy the store-bought stuff at the beginning, okay? But someone else came to me and said, hey, I'd really like to bake the communion bread. Is that okay? I was like, oh, man, we'd love it. Well, then they sent me this little message, and I was like, oh, I hope they understand. And they were like, hey, I made some raisin bread for Sunday. And I'm like, ooh, I don't think Chewy Jesus is what we were really referring to here. And I was like, Sherry, how do I respond back to this one? How do I gently coerce to say, don't do that? You know. And then a couple days later, I was like, you know, when you kind of brought that up and, you know, you kind of, you know, want to make it flowery and everything else. And they wrote back like, ha, 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 I was just teasing you. And I was like, dude, I worried about it for 2 days, you know. How do you correct and bring about change, you know? And they were so playing me, Brittany Gidley. Was that out loud? I thought that was God that said that. But there's a lot of different things that you can plug into, as well as creating areas of ministry, okay? We don't have a closed door here. We don't have a ceiling. As long as we can tie that to our vision, and you will promise to get a team around you. Notice this goes back to the mentoring thing. No lone rangers, okay? Mentoring. If you'll notice, what I've tried to do over this last year as we help launch Gateway West, okay, they're still averaging 85 to 90, sometimes over 100 people over there. We had Pastor Dan preach one Sunday a month, okay? A couple reasons for that. Number one is Dan was already a really good teacher preacher. That wasn't an issue here, but he was always in an established church. He needed to get used to teaching and preaching outside of a church field. And the first Sunday that he taught here, he goes like, dude, how do you do that? Because that was so different. I was like, get used to it, buddy, because you'll be in some place that's not an established church. Sure enough, they're in a school, okay? Now, they happen to have a stage, but he didn't use a pulpit. He didn't do all that other stuff. It's very, very different. But then we would talk through his messages about, you know, hey, you know, this really connected, or this was a little fuzzy or whatever else. Now then, we're doing the same kind of thing with Mickey, okay? Mickey taught last week. He usually is going to teach or preach one Sunday a month, and then he and I get together and start to go through all that. Let me tell you something. There's going to be Sundays that the guys and gals that we mentor are going to hit a home run, and then they're going to strike out. And here's what you need to understand about that, okay? We want them to, because that's how you grow. See, I could sit down with Mickey and say, hey, Mickey, here's all the points that you need to cover within a sermon. Here's all the good materials. Here's how you do illustrations, and this is how you do this, and as a pastor, you need to do that. But, Mickey, I'm never going to let you do any of that. I just want you to read it. That's not mentoring. That's telling. And guess what? We all know this. No experience, you're not going to get anywhere, right? Those of you who have signed up for a job, if you didn't have any experience, man, they had a lot of questions, and you usually got passed over if someone had it. We don't want that. We want to continue to mentor people. So I want to challenge everybody, growth group leaders, communion preparer folks, as Steve will call them, button people that push the buttons on the computer. See, I call them much more nice terms than that. Huh? Jill says button people? Oh, Jill made that up. Button people. So, we know. All of those things need to be continually transferred. And then the person that was doing that job doesn't need to go, okay, well, I'm done. No. Find out what God's calling you to next. Now, I want to show you how I've been mentoring. I've got a video here that I want to show you. This has been a very intensive mentoring process. So I want you to understand that before you watch this. Okay, this is very intensive, very serious, all right? So I'm going to give you some behind-the-scenes look at what I've been doing in mentoring since Christmas. Ever since we got that for Christmas, it has been hilarious to watch Josiah as a 2-year-old play this game of tennis. And I mean, we just laugh hysterically watching him hit this thing back and forth. And what I realized when I was going through it, I was like, you know, it's really interesting because that's part of the mentoring process, you know? You find something you love, someone else kind of loves it, and you begin to go. And here's what I know. While Josiah is not as good as me, right? He shouldn't be. While he's not as good as me, I get a huge joy out of watching him play. I don't know that if you came to my house, I'm going to get a huge joy out of watching you play, okay? I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be like, give me that. You know, we're sharing, you know, which we've been working on with Josiah. He doesn't always get that part. But, you know, as I watch him play and stuff like that, I'm like, no, you're a little early. You're a little early. You know, you just need to wait on it. He'll go, I need to wait. And it's all right. You're all right. You need to wait. Now, whether or not he gets what that really means, I don't know. But he's gotten so much better. He started winning a couple of games. And I'm like, that a boy. When we look at mentoring, it's the absolute missing critical piece in most organizations. When we talk about living in community, We are not designing and building a church that only those who are really good are going to do that. We're going to have some failed attempts. We're going to have something you're like, oh, that could have been done a little bit better, but we're going to work on it. We're not just going to throw somebody out there and say, you know, go swim and then never offer any assistance. But we need to work on that whole process of mentoring, okay? So I'm going to challenge you in your own life. You ought to have two things involved in your life at all times. You ought to be coaching somebody, and somebody ought to be coaching you. Now then, there are transitional times. I get that because I go through that where I'm like, hey, I've really learned from this person, but now I'm going to transition to someone else, okay? I have personal coaches in my own life that I go to that I say, what would you do here? That doesn't mean that I always go, oh, okay, well, they give me the answer. Now I'm going to go back and do that very thing. But sometimes they're a sounding board. Sometimes they actually give me the missing piece. Why is that? Because God has said it so. Look at Mark chapter 12 with me. This is absolutely critical as we talk about loving God, living community, serve the city. Page 867. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. A teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So where did we get our vision from? It's from that passage. Love God, live in community, and when you love your neighbor as yourself, that means you're going to be in service as well. And so when Jesus talked to these people and said, hey, you know, which is the most important commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, and the second one is just like it. In other words, don't even try to make it number two. Make it right here. It's the same thing. See, here's what I've learned. There are some Christians that I cannot stand to be around. Now, I know you're like going, what? Well, there's some Christians you can't stand to be around either, okay? So don't be so shocked. But you're like, oh, no, you're a pastor. You must think the world of all Christians. I really don't. And I'll tell you why. Some people are so into God, they don't care about anybody else. You ever met those people? They're only interested in what the word is for them that they never understand when Jesus said the same thing can be said for this commandment. And what he's saying is, don't make it one and two. Make it one and one. If you notice with the Ten Commandments, the first four are about you and God. But there's six of them in there with you and other humanity. You ever notice that? Because here's what God knows. The way you treat humanity will ultimately be the way that you treat him. Say, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. How do I know this? Look at the Ten Commandments. He knew that the way we begin to treat other people is ultimately how we're going to treat him. Jesus brought it in and said, when they said, which one is the most important commandment? And he goes, well, here's what you got to treat God, but the second one is just like it. Man, he drew a line. He didn't draw an outline. He drew a line and said, this is what it hangs on. All the commandments hang on these two. It's absolutely essential that we as believers understand that living in community is part of the way God teaches us. Don't be the person who thinks that what I'm supposed to do is just learn from me and to the heck with everybody else. Jesus would look at you and say, you're wrong. You learn so that you can serve others. Guys, in a couple weeks, we're going to do this retreat called Calamanly, okay? We're going to have several sessions there, and we're going to learn some things about what it means to be a man, you know. And, you're, you know, some of you ladies are thinking, yeah, but you can do a Bible study in the hot tub and at the swim-up bar, aren't you? Maybe. We might. But we're going to have a good time. There's no doubt about that. And some of you may not be interested in the water stuff. That's fine. No big deal. We'll hang out, have a lot of laughs, and make fun of people. I mean, in a godly way, of course. You know, and, you know, we'll have a lot of fun doing those things, but we're going to take very seriously who we are as men. What does God call us to be? You know, the number one problem in church in America today is this. You don't find many men. You ever wondered about that? Why is it when you walk into most churches, ours is a little different, but when you walk into most churches, it's the women doing the serving. It's the women doing the teaching. It's the women doing a lot of the stuff. And then you'll see some preacher dudes, right? Okay? You see some elders, and then you go, wait, where's the rest of the men? Now, we have made church boring. I don't know how we made the greatest story ever told boring, but we are accomplished at it. I mean, it's amazing to me, but we distance ourselves from these men and say, let's just kind of, and guys have obliged. So you want to push me away? It's fine with me. I'll stay at home. I have no problem with that. I'll get ready for the Browns game on Sunday. You know, I know men can get up. You know how I know men can get up? Because every Sunday that I come downtown at 8:45 in the morning, when it's Brown Sunday, they got their grill strapped on the back. They can get up. It's just, what are we giving them to get up for? What's the point? So we've lost a lot of men within society. Ladies, in March, you're going to have your own retreat as well. But men, this is what I want to challenge you. It's not so much what you will learn that weekend, but that you will learn to love your neighbor as yourself. You may learn something, and I hope that you do. But most important is what you can transfer it over to. That's where you'll get joy and excitement, guys. You know when I get excitement? It's when Josiah smacks it, you know? And he turned around and said, I smacked it. You know, I'm like, yeah, you smacked it. I get excited about that. Why? Because he's my son. I taught him, you know? Actually, Sherry probably taught him that part. But, you know, I'm excited for him. It's not about sports. It's not about any of those other things. It's the fact that mentoring is key and critical for all of us. I'm going to give you your GPS for this morning, your good practical stuff. You were created in relationship with God and humanity. See, the problem is that a lot of our worship, and I'm not picking on Jeremy here because this doesn't have anything to do with Jeremy. A lot of our worship talks about our relationship with God, and very few things talk about our relationship with humanity. So we sing about God, you're all I need, and no, it's really not scriptural. God created us to be in relationship with him and humanity. Jesus reinforced it and said, hey guys, yeah, I love you, Lord your God, you know all that stuff, but here's what you got to know. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we talk about serving the city, the bottom line to that is this. Everyone serving, everyone giving. Everyone serving, everyone giving. There are going to be some service projects that you go, I don't know that that's me. I want to force you a little bit and say, get uncomfortable on occasion. Do something that you don't normally do. I was at a retreat this last weekend, and this quote stuck with me. I'm probably going to develop a message around it because, man, I was like, oh, that's good. Francis Chan's a pastor out in California, and here's what he said. And I want to get it right here, so let me think about it just for a second. Okay, Francis Chan said, why did God give us the comforter when we're already comfortable? And when Jesus described the comforter, it was because we would be willing to take risks. See, when you're comfortable, you don't need the comforter. You don't need the Holy Spirit of God. It becomes very easy for you. So sometimes you need to take on a service project that's not you. And at the end, you'll probably go, blech, I don't know about all that. But it made you better and it served someone else. Because at the end of the day, it's really not all about you. Because what you may find out years later is that meant more to that person than what you can ever, ever, ever imagine. And so when we talk about serving the city, we do that primarily through our growth groups. Each growth group is required to do several of those a semester. That's what they're supposed to be involved with. And occasionally we're going to do some that are church-wide, like when we go to the inner city and we do the Westside Ecumenical Ministry thing. And we usually try to pick at least two projects a year that's bigger than what a single growth group can do. Okay, so that way we're all serving together. But the challenge for all of us is this: learning to love God. Do you have a personal plan? Are you reading? Most importantly, are you retaining something? Are you picking something out of a passage? I don't care if you use YouVersion or your own version. I don't really care. It's just a tool, okay? Don't worship the tool, all right? Just use the tool to learn how to have a better relationship with God and others. Live in community. Get involved with a growth group, and here's what you're going to find. There may be some people on there that kind of rub you the wrong way on occasions. I know it's shocking. You may rub somebody wrong on some occasions. Now, I know you're God's gift to humanity, you know, and everybody else is the weirdo, but occasionally you might say something a little odd to them. But you need to understand that's how you grow. You need a mentor. Those of you who are in leadership positions or serving someone in the church, you need to be reaching out to other people and trying to bring them in, seeing if it's something that they want to be a part of so that they will grow. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you. You were made in relationship with God and humanity. And that's why we do what we do. I want everyone just to bow their heads, close their eyes this morning. I want you just to listen very closely to me. We're about to move into part of taking communion, but one of the things we've done is we've changed up our leadership here in the church. I'm not going to go through all the details of it, but we've created a ministry partner group. And so part of the practical application of this morning is that if you're looking to serve and if you're looking to continue to give to the church and that sort of thing, and you're interested in being involved a little bit more within the church, okay? We're going to do quarterly meetings with this group. It's not going to be overblown, 4 to 5 times, something like that per year. If you're interested in really serving more and more within the church, I've got an agreement that we're asking people to sign to be a part of that group. I want you to find me or send me an email or whatever else. We're going to have our first meeting in a couple of weeks, and we'll get that message out so that everybody can know what that is. And you can come to that first meeting and learn more about it. You don't have to commit beforehand. You can go to that first meeting and figure out if this is the group you want to be a part of. But it'll give you a place to serve. You don't have to lead anything, but you need to have an area of service somewhere within the church, whether that's helping with our childcare or setup or communion things, anything like that that's a service area. We want you to be a part. My prayer for you this morning is, whether you join that team or are interested in that team or not, that you'll get a plan for your relationship with God. You'll get a plan for what it means to live in community. That you'd check out some growth groups. Next week is our big growth group fair, so you'll hear all about your options. And as we move to this time of communion, I just want us to just kind of bow in prayer here and get our hearts ready, because this is what cost God his son. That God knew that we were made for relationship with him and with others. And so as we approach communion, I want you to take it very seriously. I want you to inspect your life, and you don't have to be perfect, but you need to be humble enough to ask for forgiveness in the areas that you know that you've messed up with God, and prepare your heart for this time. But what I want you to remember as part of the GPS that I talked about earlier, Christ's sacrifice wasn't just to reconcile you back to God. That was certainly a huge part of it, but it was also to restore humanity to one another. So maybe this morning as you take communion, maybe you see it a little bit differently, that yes, it cost Christ his life, but his life was poured out not just to restore us back to God, but to help us love one another, and that our life should reflect Him. Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the shed blood. And Lord, I just pray that we will understand this morning, maybe leave this morning, that our relationship with You is important, but just as equally important as our relationship with others. And so, God, may we embrace that truth.